Dr. Haywood Robinson has always been driven by helping people live in the healthiest way possible. But when he didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, he thought that serving others involved performing abortions. His story shows how a relationship with Jesus and knowledge about the medical world can fundamentally change how one views abortion. Hello, this is Sonia Hines, and welcome to Spotlight. And today my guest is Dr. Haywood Robinson. Welcome, Dr. Robinson.
Thank you for having me. What a blessing.
You have such a great story of transformation from an abortionist physician to the director of medical affairs and education for 40 Days for Life, the world's largest grassroots movement to end abortion. So let's start by talking about how you got started. How did you become an abortion provider?
Well, I was called to be a physician when I was 4 or 5 years old. I just knew that's what I wanted to do. And of course, at 4 or 5 years old, I wasn't thinking about abortion. I wouldn't have known what that was. So going through the usual education system and process, undergraduate education in medical school, and it's just an interesting fact that when I was a junior in undergraduate, that's when Roe versus Wade was passed. And I've lived long enough in that 50 years of deaths brought on by the Supreme Court, you were able to see the Dobbs decision made, which was a blessing, but obviously we have a lot more work to do. But went on through training, did a residency in family medicine, which is the first time I was exposed directly to the abortion procedure during my training in residency. And I remember the first time that I saw an abortion, you know, I felt a little bit of what I refer to as cerebral queasiness and felt that, you know, there's something just not quite right about it. Of course, you know, scientifically that the baby is, you know, a baby at the time of conception, but the enemy has ways of planting convenient lies in your mind that, oh, well, it's really not a baby, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what happens is once you see an abortion, you start sliding down that seductive lie that this is part of medicine, which it is not. The next thing you know, they're showing you how to do one. We have a saying in medicine, you see one, you do one, and then you teach one. Medicine is somewhat of a disciple model ministry. I call medicine a ministry because it ministers to people's health. So that's the beginning of that process of getting to the point where for money, now in training, of course, that's part of a training program, but once you have the quote-unquote skill of doing an abortion, that's a very marketable skill on the open market. And during my time of training, I would moonlight doing abortion. Basically, you walk into a room with someone you've never met, and in 10 to 12 minutes, you've taken away their baby for money, and you walk away. I didn't enjoy this, but at the time, I wasn't a believer. Jesus has not saved me, and I basically was, my life was being run by the enemy and my own selfish inclinations. But I could say that when I met the Lord saved me. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And then there's a process of rehumanization, which you have to deal with the damage that you've done in that dehumanizing process and destroying other human beings. The Lord saved me, and boy, that's when it all turned around.
Amen. How can we help women understand that abortion is not health care?
Well, I think we need to make it simpler than that. I would say 95-98% maybe of women do not want to harm their children, born or preborn. However, we have this genocide, this Holocaust of abortion that we know has spiritual underpinning. The natural tendency of a woman is to nurture and raise their child. So the first step is not to tell them what not to get. The first step is to tell them who they are. And they are a woman made in the image of God, who now God has found a time to plant another human being in them. And they are designed, to nurture that child, to love that child, and to raise that child. Now, the opposite of that would be to destroy that child and let the woman know that that's not in your nature, that's not in your code that God put in during creation. So that's one way you look at it. But on the other hand, they need to know that there is no place in medicine for causing harm to any human being inside the womb or outside. Medicine is only about healing and comfort. The Hippocratic Oath, which was written 400 years before Christ, clearly stated that there were basically four things that physicians did not do. That they did not have relations with their patients. They always kept confidential what went on between the interaction of the doctor and the patient. No euthanasia and no abortion. And the corollary to that was first, do no harm. So what we've done, medicine has deviated from more than two millennia of a standard of doing no harm to where now we have legalized abortion, and we're fighting state to state to try to limit that. But we also have more than 10 states in the United States where euthanasia, or they don't call it that, they either call it medical assistance in dying or other euphemisms, perform right now in our country. Lots of people aren't even aware of that.
Before I go, I definitely want to talk about your book, The Scalpel and the Soul, Our Radical Transformation as Husband and Wife, Abortion Doctors. And this is a book that you co-authored with your former wife, Dr. Johnson, who passed away in 2021. Tell us about your book.
Well, it's more, I would say, as a testimony of, you know, how a young guy is basically starting out with the intent of being a wonderfully altruistic family doctor and is drawn to the dark side. But the only way that you become aware that there is a kingdom of light and a correct direction by your creator is that Jesus has to save you. One has to come to a saving knowledge of the atonement of Jesus Christ. So it just talks about how we were changed, what our life was before, and what it was like after we were saved. And it's an encouragement to anyone who, regardless of what they're in, be it drugs, human trafficking, pornography, there is a way out, and that's through Jesus Christ, and that's from darkness to light.
Amen. You know, Jesus, with all of those things that you mentioned, he changes it all. Mm-hmm. Well, again, my guest is Dr. Heywood Robinson. He's the Director of Medical Affairs and Education for 40 Days for Life. Dr. Robinson, thank you so much for joining us today. Mm-hmm. And you are going to be in the Syracuse area for the Syracuse 40 Days for Life prayer vigil on October 12th. And for more details, you can go to 40daysforlife.com. Dr. Heywood, thank you so much for your ministry.
It's been my blessing, and I'm looking forward to being in Syracuse and meeting some of my fellow pro-life brothers and sisters. All right. God blesses you a whole bunch.
Yes, you as well. This is Sonia Hines with Spotlight. Thank you for listening.
Spotlight, a public affairs program of the Mars Hill Network. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the Mars Hill staff, management, or board of directors. Inquiries and suggestions are welcome. Email them to spotlight@marshillnetwork.org or regular mail to Spotlight in care of Mars Hill Network, 4044 Mackay's Road, that's spelled M-A-K-Y-E-S, 13215.